Amen. Good singing. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. Enjoyed that good singing. Father's Day. I want to give you just a little information on the origins of Father's Day. Pull this tie down and go ahead and get that done. I'm sorry. Last Sunday, it got to choking me, and they'll get that. I think Matthew's behind the church playing his music. That's what it sounds like. It says, on July the 19th, 1910, the governor of the United States, the U.S. state of Washington, proclaimed the nation's first Father's Day. However, it was not until 1972, 58 years after President Woodrow Wilson made Mother's Day official, that the day, Father's Day, became a nationwide holiday in the United States. The campaign to celebrate the nation's fathers did not meet with the same enthusiasm, perhaps because, as one florist explained, fathers haven't the same sentimental appeal as mothers have. And obviously we love our mothers, but we also love our fathers. And I wanted this morning, I want to share with you some things on the attributes of a godly father. Now obviously, our opinions are not what's important. But what's important is what the Word of God teaches us. Now if we want to understand the responsibilities of a father and what God's expectations are, what God's plan is for a father, we can get everything we need from right here. And that's true of most things in life, but we have to be willing to accept those. Now, I'm going to give you plenty of scripture this morning. If you want to read along with me, you can. You can mark it. I've had people come up to me and they say, well, can I have a copy of that? Well, yes, absolutely. And let me just say this. It doesn't matter what we think if what we think does not line up with the Word of God. You see, anyone can have an opinion, but I tell you what's really important is that we listen to what the Word of God says and let it teach us and guide us. Because anytime our opinions or our thoughts or our actions, and this is really where I get sideways, I don't understand it, when people say, well, God told me, and it's in direct conflict with the Word of God. If you think God told you and it doesn't line up with this, it didn't come from God. But when I look at the Word of God, it does give us things that are certainly the attributes or the characteristics of a godly father. I want to give you these, and we'll get down to a dad being a dad here in just a little bit. But the first one this morning I want to read out of Ephesians chapter number 5 in verse 25, and then I'm going to go down to 28 and read down through verse number 32. And here's what I want you to see and understand is that a father is a partner. Okay? It says in Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. It says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. There's another verse in Colossians chapter 3 verse 19 says this. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now if you look at this scripture, it involves some things. It involves leaving. And it involves cleaving. And I guess the thing that we really need to get a hold of is it even involves serving. You see, so many times men, and I've seen this growing up, they want to be in charge. And I tell you, the best way to be in charge is to be hooked up with God. Because, you know, the best way to get a woman to follow you is to be loving them enough that you love them like Christ loved the church. Well, how much did Christ love the church? He loved the church so much that he was willing to die for it. And I believe if more men would show that kind of love to their wives, then maybe their wives would be willing to follow them. You see, the problem a lot of times we have is we want to be in charge, but we don't want to be where God wants us to be. And I want to say this, and I want to move on because I got too much ground to cover. But I've heard this said, and I believe this morning, that the greatest thing that a dad can ever give to his children is to love their mother. You know, if you look at America and the condition that America is in today, and you look at statistics, and especially the condition that our youth are in, you look at how many of them are growing up in a home where there's no dad. How many of them are growing up without dad to be an influence. And even the influence that he does have on them, and we'll get to this a little bit more in a minute, it's not the kind of influence that you should have. But a partner, here's something that a partner has to do. And you know, when I say serve, here's sometimes the thing. You know, everybody, you can't be right all the time. Can I tell you that nobody's right all the time? I'm not right all the time. I kid them. You know, they say something to me at work, and I kid them because this is the only way I can get away with it. I say, yeah, my wife, she thinks I'm smart. My wife, she thinks I'm right all the time. My wife, she thinks I know everything. No, she doesn't. But she's not there, so I can say it. She's not here this morning, but she's coming back. But if we're going to be what we need to be, let's just get this right. It ain't going to happen unless I'm right with God. Then I can be a partner. Now, a father is a partner. A father, he is a parent. A father is a parent. There's a verse of Scripture in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 19, and it is speaking of the story of the Shunammite woman and her only son. And it speaks of a time when her only son had fallen sick. And as he had fallen sick, here's what the little boy said to his father. And he said unto his father, my head, headache. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. Now, you listen to that. Now, we know the story, but how many times is it? And you can just walk around here at Bible school. You can be here on Sunday morning. And you look down, and you know you've been working with these kids, and you're with them. And they're at that age. And I've been in the nursery. And they come walking up to you, and their nose. It needs attention. You know what I've said? And I've even had them bring me my son. You know, I have teenagers working in the nursery. They have no experience yet. And they bring them to you, and I say, same thing that this man said, carry him to his mother. Now, I can remember when Matthew was born. He really wouldn't like me saying this, but he's not here. The first time when they brought him into the room, and Kendra had him, and you know, she obviously was recovering, and his diaper needed change. And I had to do it. But how many times, guys, let's just be honest. Yeah. Somebody will say, well, you know, I think his diaper's full. Yeah, yeah. Carry him to his mother. And I know, and let's just be honest. There's nobody like a mother. Amen. And moms, nobody can do your job. Nobody. Dad can't do your job. Now, I am a parent, and I'm a mothering parent. See, I got a daughter. I was thinking, I couldn't help but thank Brother Keith as you and Miss Sandy were up here singing this morning. I got a Father's Day card yesterday from my daughter, and she wrote in it, and I read it, and it touched my heart. And I miss her. And I want to see her. I'm going to see them soon. I ain't seen them since Christmas. But as I read it, I thought about how time has passed so quickly. I thought about as she was growing up and the times that she was when she was real little, before she was about 4 years old, I had her convinced she was a boy. She would sit on the couch by me and watch hunting and fishing, and it didn't bother her. But when she got a little bigger, she figured it out. And then she didn't want to be right under daddy. She was a little girl. And, you know, then we went through those teenage years, and, you know, we had some friction. And I thought she's not listening to anything I say, but she was. And I thought about it today. That's my daughter. You know, and there's a scripture in Psalms 127, verse 3 to 5. It says, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. You see, moms, no ones can take your place. But dads are parents too. And when my daughter was born, I can remember we brought her from the home from the hospital. We lived up in Woodstock. We lived in a trailer up there, first place we lived. And I told my wife, I said, the bassinet has to be on my side of the bed. Not every day is like this, but I said, I have to be able to get to her if she cries. And I can remember when, you know, we got Luke home from the hospital, and my wife, by then, she had it figured out. She had done this three times. She had him trained to go lay down in the bed. And I said, you can't let that baby do that. I got him, and he slept right here on my chest. He was about this long. You know, I'd lean back in my chair, and he was right here. And she said, you have reared him. I cannot get him to sleep anymore. And finally, I said, one day, son, get off of me. My legs are going to sleep. But you see, fathers are parents too. You have to be willing to fulfill your role. You have to be willing to change a diaper. You have to take your turn. That's being a partner. You see, but dads also have other responsibilities, Mom. I know you have yours, and we've said it on Mother's Day that a father's work is from son to son, and a mother's work is never done. But if a father is going to be a godly father, there are some things that, according to what I read in the Word of God, he's going to have to do. Amen. You see, a father is a provider. And I tell you what the Bible teaches about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Then I flipped over there to another place in the New Testament, and it said, basically, if a man does not work, he does not deserve to eat. We're in a time today where there is an entitlement mentality where so many people think that they deserve for you to work and give it to them. But I'll tell you, if we're going to be the dad that God wants us to be, you're not going to be a godly dad by being a deadbeat. What you're going to do is you're going to do your part to take care of the family. You know, I can remember when I was growing up, and I've got some pictures up here. I got one of my dad when I was 6 years old, and I got another one just a few years before he passed away. I saw him, he'd get up in the morning, and he'd go to work. He'd go to work when he felt good. He'd go to work when he felt bad. And he'd get up, and he'd do what he needed to do, and it wasn't because he had that example in his home. It was because he had come in contact with a living God that had changed his life, that had saved his soul and took out that heart of stone and put in him a heart of flesh. He was a godly man. And a godly man is going to do his part to take care of his family. And here's something he's not going to do. He's not going to ask somebody else to do what he is supposed to do. I hear these stories of 40-year-old men still living at home under mom and dad, grandparents raising not only their grandchildren, but their great-grandchildren. Let's just be honest. Somebody needs to get right with God. You see, a true father and a true mother, this is true, and I've seen this, he'll do without to give his children what they need. And often what they want. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I've seen this. Sit down at the table. Sometimes there's meat on the table. Sometimes not. You ever seen a plate of pork chops and a bunch of hungry boys? I've seen this. Most of the time, this is mama. Because truth is, mama's already taken care of dad. But you say, you pass the plate. I don't want none. You know what's really they're saying? I'm going to do without because I love you more than I love myself. And I want to tell you something. A godly parent is going to love their children enough that they'll do without to make sure that they have what they need.
And they're not going to do it complaining. They're not going to do it for attention. But they're going to do it because something has happened to them that makes them be what they are. See, a father is a provider. A father is a priest. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm not a preacher. I'm not a priest. Can I tell you that there are things that have to happen in your house that aren't going to happen at church? You see, I believe with all my heart that the first ministry that any man has, whether you're a preacher, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, you work in Bible school, your first ministry is to your home. And if I can't be the dad and the husband that I need to be in my house, I have no business standing up here in this pulpit and trying to preach. I one time heard a story of a guy, he is a preacher and he passed away. And when he passed away, his wife made a comment talking about how mean he was to them. I knew a guy that passed away and when he did, his kids said, "We didn't even know our dad. He might have did this over here and he might have did that over there, and he had time for them and he had time for them, but he never had time for us." See, a father is a priest. Job 1:5, it talks about Job speaking of his children. It says, "It was so that when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that all my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." Tell you what a godly father does. He prays for his children. You know, if you've never went in, and I know there's some of you that don't let your kids lay down at night that you don't pray with them. There's some of you that go into their bedrooms at night and you put your hands on their head and you pray for them. I heard a man talk about him and his wife. He said, and this is what they did for years. He said, every Friday, and I'm not advocating this, folks. I'm not this spiritual, okay? I'm just telling you what I heard. He said, every Friday, he said, my wife and I, we fasted and we prayed for our children because it was told us that my grandfather had fasted and prayed for his children and his grandchildren, and God had saved every one of them. And he said, it dawned on me, what about my children? He said, we fasted and prayed for our children until God saved every one of them. Then it hit me, he said, what about my grandchildren? You see, if you've never put your hand on your son's head at night and said, God, would you bless the woman that he will marry one day? God, would you send the right person into his life? God, would you send the right person into her life? Maybe it's time as fathers that we start praying that God would move in the lives of our loved ones. See, a father is a priest. He prays. A father stands in the gap on their behalf. Now, I've said this before, and I believe this, and I've seen people do this when I say it. Folks, I believe God blessed me a lot of times in my life because of the man that my dad was. He's a man of God. You know, when I said that, Miss Martha, I looked back over here, and Charity was sitting back here, and she just did this. How many of you can say that? Miss Becky, when I went up to the hospital and I met your mother, I didn't meet her and I didn't talk to her but just a few minutes, but I can tell you from talking to her for just a few minutes what I found out. She said that her husband was a prince of a man. You see, he was a partner. He was a provider. He was a priest. And if I can do anything in my life, I want it to be that after I'm gone, and folks, I'm going to be gone one day, that my children can look back and say, my daddy was a man of God. Also, a father is a pastor. And you say, I don't want to be that. Don't lay that on me. I'm going to give you scripture. It ain't me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 through 7 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." And verse number 9 says, "And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Well, you go over to Proverbs 22:6, and it gives us another scripture. It says, "Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, how in the world can we, just on Sunday morning, or just on Sunday night, be able to fulfill all the things just in this house that God has called you to do? We can't. You see, if it's in the home first, and I believe that's where the breakdown is at in America, and we can take and we can reinforce that, and we can take these truths, and we can provide more support for you, but we must begin in our homes, because every dad is a pastor. He has to instruct, he has to lead, he has to teach, he has to be an advisor, and he has to be a listener. That's tough. I can remember times I'd sit down, and I love to see these kids ask strange questions. They do. They come to you and they come up with stuff. They get you, don't they, Brother Allen? It's almost like I need to be praying so I can answer them. I'm sure I did that to my dad. But he would sit and he would listen. And he was patient. And sometimes, let's just be honest, you get to the point, and he did this with me. He sent me to the Lord. You remember, if you study in the Old Testament, where Samuel was there, and he heard the voice crying unto him, and he ran into where Eli was at. He said, "Did you call me?" He said, "I didn't call you." And the next time he came, he said, "Did you call me?" He said, "I didn't call you." Next time, he said, "Son, the Lord is calling you." Sometimes the Lord is calling you, and I've heard it said this way. We need to teach, we need to learn, we need to understand, but we need to be able to take the Word of God. We need to be able to prepare our own meals. You see, sometimes God gives me things in there for me. But I need to do my part in my home. I need to be an advisor. I need to be a listener. And I need to have enough spiritual discernment about me that when I'm coming home from Awana, and I've had this happen to me, and I'm looking over here at one of my boys, and he's got his head down, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "God is dealing with his heart." Do you know when God is dealing with the heart of your child? Because the truth is, if you raise them in church and you teach them about God, there's a good possibility that your child will get saved in your house. If I were to ask for a show of hands, I believe a lot of them would fly up and say, "Yes, my child got saved at home." You know why? Because you as a dad were a pastor. Because you as a mother were a godly woman, a virtuous woman, and you taught them and you raised them and they had enough confidence in you. I tell you where the shame is at, and I've seen this. I had a cousin one time, came down to church, a teenager, got saved, went and told his daddy, and his daddy laughed. How far from what a godly father is can you get? See, a home is a family. A church is a family. In a family, you need wisdom. You need grace. You need forgiveness. And you need understanding. Now, I want to say this also. A father is a pattern. Now, here's the thing about a pattern I want you to understand. You know, You ever hear this, and the ear sometimes the way I am, I say, "Oh God, that's so heavy. That's so heavy on my heart." Because I recognize, Lord, all my deficiencies and all my inabilities and my failures, and God, I've not been everything that I should be. Can I tell you, I was different with my second child from my third child. And if I have a fourth, I'll still be different. You know why? Because I'm still learning. Because he's still working on me. But I'll tell you what a pattern is. And this is what we need to understand. A pattern is consistent. But a pattern is not perfect. You ever picked up one of them cotton shirts? Now, I'm going to get a rabbit trail and come right back, okay? We were driving through the country just the other day, and I was looking at them cotton plants. And they were growing and growing and growing. And I said, how in the world does that plant grow that stuff that makes this shirt? God had a plan. But you ever looked at one of them chick shirts that's cotton? And they're spinning that thing, and all of a sudden there's a little knot. A little knot. A little fray. But we look at that. Can I tell you, it's a pattern. It's consistent. But it's not perfect. Now, you're not going to be perfect either. You're going to make some mistakes. You're going to say some things you shouldn't say. And you're going to say, I wish I could catch that word back. I wish I could throw that day back. I wish I could change that. You know what I've had to do sometimes? I've learned to do this. And I don't mind doing this. I don't want to do it a lot because I don't want to be in this shape. But I call my wife to me. I got to do this. And I'm like the Fonz. I'm saying, honey, I'm No. I said, honey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Now, have you ever got one of your kids and they come to you and say, son, I'm sorry. I was wrong. You see, a father is a pattern. He's consistent. He's not perfect, but I tell you what a pattern is. A pattern is something that can be followed. It can be followed. And a pattern is also something that is remembered. You know, some people learn in different ways. And if I were to go back over the years, and I've got a filing cabinet just full of cassette tapes of messages of different preachers. Truth is, I can't remember what much is in that cabinet. But if you mention those men, I remember them. I remember their character. I remember how they stood. I remember what they stood for. Because a pattern is something that can be remembered. See, a father is also, he's a picture. And we need to understand this in ministry. Well, who's he a picture of? To a child, is a picture of Christ. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, the scripture says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now here's what kind of relationship it's talking about. It's not father. It's daddy. Some people don't like that word. I heard a man say one time, a preacher, he was preaching, he said, I believe the greatest thing that a man can ever be called is grandpa. Now, I got two grandsons, and I like that. But I got boys, and I got a daughter. And I want to tell you, daddy carries a lot of weight. You see, when they say daddy, and they come to me, and they're coming in that quiet voice, and they want to talk, that's closeness. And here's what I want you to understand about the Lord when He says, we cry, Abba, Father. He doesn't want you to look at Him as some big God on a distant hill with a big stick waiting to hit you, but He's just like a daddy that's waiting to wrap His arms around you when you come to Him. You know, I see it. I mentioned before, I see my daughter two or three times a year now, and God's blessing them. But there are times she come to the house and I ain't seen her. And I'll be sitting in that chair and she'll come. I tell you what she does. She'll get right in my lap. Amen. She'll put her arm around my neck and say, Daddy, would you just hold me a minute? Amen. Now I want to tell you something. If you know the Lord as your Savior, that's the kind of God He is. Amen. That's the kind of God He wants to be with in His relationship with you. He wants you to come to Him. He wants to welcome you. He loves you just like you are. He already knows all your failures. But He loves you anyway. You see, this kind of relationship is a picture. When the little kids have that relationship with their dad, and dad's where he needs to be, there'll come a time, and I mentioned this Friday night, they'll reach the age of accountability. Well, what's that? That is the age that God speaks to their heart. I've heard people say, well, I don't believe that a kid can get saved until, and they fill in the blank. I tell you what I believe. I believe they get saved when God calls them. Amen. I can tell you stories I've heard as young as 3 years old. Say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I can tell you the fruit's there. Okay?
See, if you meet the Lord, there's going to be some fruit. There's going to be some evidence that you've come in contact with the King of Kings. And when a child reaches the age of accountability, maybe they can reach that age because they've had a good picture. You know where the difficulty lies, and we see this, Brother Tom, so often in Celebrate Recovery. The people have a difficult time seeing God as a Heavenly Father because they picture they have a father. It's all to pieces. Well, if we're going to call God Father, I'm not sure I want Him in my life. What a distorted view. You see, a father is a picture. That's why I don't worry about little things that sometimes people say, well, that gets in the way. I'm this, I'm that. I want to tell you, when a child reaches the age of accountability, God takes over. And the last thing we want to do, and I've seen this before, I've seen it happen when God be dealing with a child and they have their hands on the bench or the pew. Mama and daddy, rather than having enough spiritual discernment to understand what's going on, they won't even move out of the way and let them go. They say, you stay right there. I heard a lady give her testimony one time about being in church and her son, he wanted her to go down to the altar and pray with him. She said, you stay there, we're not going, you're too young. He was about 8 or 10 years old. She stood up in church and she cried. She said, my son's 20, I don't know where he's at, I don't know what he's doing. I'd love to go back to that day when the Spirit of God was moving and when things could happen and I could grab him by the hand and say, let's go pray. See, a father's a picture. What kind of picture are we painting? See, a father's also, he's very powerful. You say, well, I don't have any power. Oh, yes, you do. Everybody in here is powerful. I walked around here last week and I was looking at the power. I seen the power of influence. As people led groups of kids in and out of the church, and you would go from, you say, well, I didn't have no power, I just made snack. You're powerful. You're giving influence. You see, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, oh, what a strong verse. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You see, in Ezekiel chapter 7, in verse 7, there's a verse that talks about the sounding again of the mountains. Can I tell you, I can remember words that my dad and my mom said when I was growing up that just stuck. I can also remember words that Sunday school teachers said when I was 6, 8, 10 that stuck. And I remember how it went into my heart and my mind. You say, well, what do you mean? It's the echo. It's the sounding again of the mountains. It's the power. See, you have the power to be an example because of your influence. Remember years ago on Channel 17, back when it was Channel 17, you know, years ago. Back, you know, Andy Griffith Show. Those kind of things. They had a commercial that started playing. Man storms into his son's bedroom and he's got this. He's got a box. Shoe box. Inside the box is paraphernalia. It's a pipe. It's different things. And you know what he said? He said, son, where did you get this? And the little boy sat there for a minute. And he said, I got it from watching you, Dad. What are your kids getting from watching you? He said, I don't have any power. Yes, you do. You can lead for the honor and glory of God, or you can lead them away from God. That's why we need to be in the house of God. That's why we need to be doing the things of God. That's why we need to be living for God. He's powerful. This is the last point. We're going to get a song. A father's passing. My opportunity to lead as a father, it's limited.
Scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, says, the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies. As it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. See, David come to the place, he said, I go the way of all the earth. I'm going to go the way of all the earth. And you're going to go the way of all the earth. Now, the Lord might come. All the signs are lining up. One thing's for certain, your time to lead will pass. And the book of Psalms, chapter 90 and verse 12, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. If you took your life as a calendar, it's just like this notebook. If we could, I tell you what we'd like to do. We'd like to turn to the last page. Well, how much time do I have? What day is my day? Well, we don't know. We don't know how many days we're going to have. We don't know how much time we're going to have. But I can tell you it's passing. Amen. See, I can remember how quick it was. You think, well, you know, I tell you, I had a rough week last week at work. I did too. You know, the weeks and the days go by slow. But the years go by fast. And I can remember when my daughter was in high school. And in the first semester of college, I went down there with her, and I paid that bill, and they said, you know what they told me? They said, no, you can't have nothing. You can't see nothing. You don't know nothing. I said, I'm paying. Don't matter. One semester, she said, Dad, I'm getting married. Dad, I'm moving to Pensacola. I said, you can't drive that far. I'm going anyway. I told her I wouldn't help her, but y'all know what I did. I did anyway. Now I got a son. He's 17. He's already doing his own thing. He's already got his own place to go, his own things to do. He's busy. He doesn't go to the woods with me anymore, Brother Tommy. He didn't go fishing with me anymore. And if I was going to do it, I should have already done it. Now I got one more in just a few years, and I promise you it's going to be just like that. He's going to be saying, Daddy, I need the car keys. Daddy, I'm going so and so. See, your time to lead will pass. That's why even as I look over here at all you youth, and I'll tell you, y'all are beautiful, handsome. Time's going to pass. We had 10 of them line up right here to graduate from high school, stepping into the next chapter of life. Now, here's the question this morning. We're going to get a song. What do we believe? What do we believe about being a godly father? Are we going to accept what God has? Am I going to ask God to help me? I'm going to tell you, folks, I do every day. I can't do it by myself. And you say, well, that seems a lot. That's heavy. You know why? I'm going to tell you something. That's why we need God. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we need Him to help us be everything that we can be. Because I am nothing to myself. I can't do it. But I can rely on Him. You know, it's not just what do we believe from the Word of God, but what are we going to receive from the Word of God? Just before they sing, I want to ask everybody, if you would, please, just to bow your heads. If you're here this morning, God spoke to you, and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want to tell you, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And in order for us to ever be the dad that God wants us to be, we first got to know Him. We got to have an intimate relationship with Him. And I'll tell you, that's what God wants you to have. And you say, well, I don't know if I just don't know. Well, you can know this morning. You say, well, I've made mistakes. I want to tell you something, we've all made mistakes. I need some help. Well, I'll tell you where you get it. You get it right here from the Lord. And I want to ask you if you would, as they sing, if you'd rise to your feet. If God has spoke to your heart and you'd like to come down and pray, would you please come pray? So, well, I don't, let me tell you, you won't be the only one. Take the person beside you, hand. Or you can come down and get one of these men. We'll be glad to pray with you. Ladies, there'll be somebody to be glad to pray with you. Maybe you want to ask somebody to come pray with you this morning. But this is wonderful to be in a house of God where the Holy Spirit moves and God speaks to our heart. As we sing, God's bidding your heart to come. Would you come?